Stugatz here for Advance Auto Parts. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Batteries start at just $79.99. They'll also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details.
This is the Dan Le Batar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
The center continues to move every day in a way that has America feel like it's shaking. Now the president of the United States is encouraging NFL teams to sign Colin Kaepernick. The lines keep moving in a way that are a little bit confusing. There is a lot of correction needed. There is some overcorrection taking place in some places where you can question the sincerity. But Roy and I had a text moment last night that I believe to be heartbreaking, dispiriting, and also kind of funny. Because I didn't know my breakfast was racist, and they're taking away Jemima from us. And all Jemima has ever stood for to me is sugary goodness. And now we're in a place where Land O'Lakes has gotten rid of the Indian. Right. Now it's just it's a Land O'Lakes. There's no Indian there anymore. They're coming after Uncle Ben next.
Oh, Dan, they came after Uncle Ben. And wait till you see the change. They already announced that a change is coming. They just haven't exactly.
They already did that last
night? They said, we are aware of what's going on with Uncle Ben. Change is coming, but we can't tell you exactly what. Do they just simply change it to Peter Parker's murdered uncle?
All right, so who did that? Mars did that? Mars?
Who murdered Peter Parker's uncle?
Yes, I think Mars is the owner for Uncle Ben. And I think Quaker Oats is the owner. 130 years,
Jemima. In one movie, it was Sandman.
And I of course it's racist. But it's, of course, sugary goodness, too. And I never associated it with the roots of racism, even though it's obvious when you look at Jemima. But Jemima just made me happy.
Changed throughout the years, in which it's funny, like, people are applying the moralities of the day, and they're like, oh, we need to tweak that. But the name still rings, and now it seems as though a full-on rebrand is coming.
Well, we're going back 130 years, right? And we are re-legislating with some virtue signaling. We are re-legislating the Jemima situation. Quaker Oats owns Jemima. Can we look through the past of the Quakers, please?
Oh,
I don't know
boy.
If they've got some stuff that we need to look at, too. I just associate Quakers with just being old.
Was it always obvious with Aunt Jemima, or is it obvious now?
No, it's always been obvious.
Yes,
it's always been obvious.
They've been peeling back certain layers of Aunt Jemima to make it less so, but it's
okay.
The name's there.
I'm in a distrustful place, okay? So I assume that the white delegation got together yesterday and was just like, okay, do you think everyone will go back inside if we give them Uncle Ben and Jemima?
Good news for the Quakers. They played a significant part in movements for the abolition of slavery. So far, so good on the wiki.
All right.
Yeah, William Penn seems all right from what I can see so far, but don't hold me to it.
This is what I'm telling you, though, and I'm sorry that this is somehow stumbling through a meandering route into what I like to call common June radio. But if you're going to do all this, let's go, Washington racial slurs. Let's go. It can't be just my butter and my sugary things. If you're going to take away my butter and my sugary things, let's go, Washington racial slurs. Let's apply the pressure there, because if it can't be on the Land O'Lakes, what's it doing on my NFL helmet?
I mean, natural transition gets a little problematic when you talk about the indigenous peoples of America when it comes to the Quakers. I mean, if you dig deep enough, that's at the heart of everything.
This is the thing. You were going to get out there. You were going to lead the charge with the Quakers. Then you were going to turn around.
I mean, they had treaties. I mean, on the spectrum, they're one of the better ones, I guess. But it was, look, let's be real about this nation's history. It didn't end up working out for the natives.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Have we gone too far when you're taking away Jemima? I don't know the answer to this question. It's why I put it on the poll. I just know that I was hurt by the loss of Jemima.
Roy is saying that Quaker is owned by PepsiCo, so you have to look a little bit deeper. I mean, there are layers to this.
I know, but you're doing...
Who's safe? Okay. Who's next? I mean, but, I have no idea.
But you're doing Quaker Oats, and you're not doing the Quakers. Like, I understand what you're doing, but I don't care who owns Careful. Quaker Oats. Okay. I'm talking about the history of the Quakers. Pepsi has given $400 million to Black Lives Matter causes.
The official word is that Mrs. Buttersworth and Uncle Ben are, quote, under review.
Oh, under review.
Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. They're in some sort of strange purgatory. You told me that Uncle Ben had gone down.
Well, they said that he might be going down, no, but they're reviewing their options.
You said there were changes.
No, they said that they're, yeah,
Mike,
but they didn't say
I came in here and I said, Uncle Ben is up next, and you're like, he's gone already. No. And I'm like, you can't keep taking away my breakfast statues faster than I can keep up.
I'm just saying they already weighed in on Uncle Ben, and it seems as though
under
change is coming.
Under review is not the same as being
it
abolished.
It is when it's on company letterhead, and the company feels the need to come out and say, hey, Uncle Ben, clock is ticking.
What's Uncle Ben's problem?
I mean, it seems like, was Uncle Ben just because we had an Aunt Jemima?
Is that what's happening?
I mean, it's not a competing... I don't know. But, like, the Uncle Ben thing...
You think they're married?
I could be... Look, no, I don't know, man. I don't even want to talk anymore.
Your Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima?
Wait a minute. I got to
just start digging on Mrs. Buttersworth.
Are you alleging... Put it on the poll, Guillermo.
It's a nervous time.
Are Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima...
This is our lament.
...married? Yes. I'm not comfortable with how uncomfortable this makes me. I think...
It's Butterworth, not Buttersworth.
Oh, boy. That's a fine.
Mike, you haven't gotten anything right this segment.
I told you something was going on, and I was right about Peter Parker's Uncle Ben being murdered.
Is there a committee? I mean...
I believe that a white delegation got together and there was Oliver Luck was there and they had a conference call and they're like, what if we give back Jemima? Do you think that we're all good now? Do you think that we could stop with this America falling apart situation? But of course, this isn't enough. Dominique says he's going to start boycotting all breakfast.
What?
Roy, I want your honest feelings when you heard... when you heard that Jemima, 130 years of Aunt Jemima is being taken off the shelves and Quaker Oats says no more Jemima for breakfast.
I thought, good, finally, because Aunt Jemima and the guy in the cream of wheat box whose name Rastus is based off of minstrel shows, you know, white people in blackface entertaining other white people. So good. Get rid of that stuff. Thank you.
Wait a minute. What was the other one you mentioned? I haven't been able to keep up. What was the other one?
Cream of wheat.
Yeah, cream of wheat. Yeah,
his name is Rastus.
Mm-hmm. Has that already happened or is it going to happen?
Also under review.
Committee. Wait a minute. Why is Jemima the first one to go down and why is
because
everyone?
Because that one's like the most obvious and now we have to peel apart the layers to see how problematic
it's the most obvious, but it's also the most beloved. We can all agree, right?
It's the most delicious for me personally out of the bunch.
Well, but Ben pales. In the shadow of Jemima, all of these people, right? Nobody is close to Jemima. That's 130 years.
I mean, no one is close to Aunt Jemima, but the cream of wheat guy, man, I should have seen that.
How did you not see it with Jemima? You've just never.
We're all coming to grips with it.
It's just delicious.
Wait a minute,
delightful.
Why
syrup,
is the cream of wheat guy only under review? Roy, help me again. What is the name of the cream of wheat guy? I did not know his name.
Rastus.
All right. Rastus under review?
Yeah. I just Googled it. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
And it won't be a long review.
So hold on a second. Can you guys help me understand something? Because I don't actually know the history of Jemima, how she has been portrayed. Are you guys?
You don't know the history of how she's been portrayed or her history in general? It's fairly obvious.
This is what I'm asking you. Have they tried to make it slightly less racist, but still racist over the last 130 years?
Like yes. Jemima used to have a bandana, and they've tweaked her look over the years, but still Aunt Jemima.
So did they just ban a normal-looking black woman just because of her history?
At this point, well, I don't want to – I take offense to your use of normal in the modern day, but you know, she's not wearing a bandana.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
what's next?
The conversation has really shifted, right? So over the last 130 years, we've made it slightly less racist by getting rid of the bandana, but now she looks like what? Does Aunt Jemima look now like just a black woman?
Yes.
If there's no minstrel, there's no racist, it's just the roots of history echoing on our syrup.
I feel confident in saying this, and I don't feel confident about much that's gone on in this segment, outside of Flint Marko, a.k.a. Sandman, definitely killing Uncle Ben once.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Here's your Sports Center update. Alfred Williams, a former star linebacker at Colorado, wants an apology from Mike Gundy after renewing an allegation that the Oklahoma State coach called him the N-word in 1989 when Gundy was a player for the Cowboys. Major League Baseball and the Players Association met again to negotiate. The league offered the players a 60-game season, but the players say that schedule is too short. And finally, Kristen Stewart will play Princess Diana in the new biopic, Spencer. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So, Stugatz has some issues, I guess, with Mets ownership. Stugatz hasn't done a lot of winning in his sports lifetime. Stugatz is the voice of the sports fan, but his teams have largely been really stinky the entire time he's been alive. However, the New York Mets twice have won the championship, and while Stugatz is not at all interested, it doesn't feel like, in what's happening with the Mets when they're bad, I believe Stugatz can be lured back into baseball in a meaningful way if the Mets actually were playing with some stakes on what they were doing. But it's been about 20 years, right? It's been since they went to the World Series against the Yankees,
right?
Since the Mets have been any kind of relevant. I guess Andy Chavez, one year they were in the playoffs.
Well, no, they had the Matt Harvey year where they trotted him out for a big game that he shouldn't have been pitching in, and that was the end of Matt Harvey. So that wasn't – I think that came after the Subway Series. It did come after the Subway Series. But the Mets here are the Wilpons are trying to sell the team. They've been trying to sell the team. And they have a number of suitors. And the suitors are, if you're a sports dork, you're familiar with some of the names, like Josh Harris and David Blitzer, because they own like the Sixers and the Devils and fairly successful franchises. Certainly the Devils. They're credible owners. Okay. I don't want them. I do not want them. If your name is not Alex Rodriguez or Jennifer Lopez, I do not want you owning the Mets. Now, I know they don't have the experience. I know they've never done anything in terms of ownership.
They don't have the money either.
I don't care. They'll find the money. They are figureheads, okay? I need A-Rod and J-Lo to own the Mets. First, New York would love it. Secondly, it would always give the Mets something to fall. Hey, we got A-Rod and we got J-Lo. It wouldn't make them the best team in New York, but perhaps the coolest team in New York. And I'm good with that. In the absence of winning, I will take cool, and A-Rod and J-Lo give me some star power, and they make it cool. Now, they're trying to bring Bob Kraft to the table, and that would make it even better. Because then I get the star power and a guy who has won, six championships up in New England.
In a different sport.
Yeah, but who cares? I got A-Rod and J-Lo.
You just want names again. It comes back always.
Who wouldn't, Dan? Who wouldn't want A-Rod and J-Lo to own their team, honestly?
You think the success will just translate to baseball for Robert Kraft?
I don't care. If Robert Kraft is the person that can deliver me A-Rod and J-Lo, that's all I care about in the equation. Mike, this you would love if my, A-Rod and J-Lo won the Browns.
I have Derek Jeter owning the Marlins, and that hasn't worked out.
You did this with Phil Jackson. You did the same thing with Phil Jackson.
You're not an owner.
You get stars in your eyes. You did the same thing with Jeter. You get star. You did the same thing with Magic Johnson. Yeah. Like, it's just fame and name. And I think it's fairly responsible. I think it's fairly remarkable. I want you guys to absorb what I'm about to say. Alex Rodriguez had, at the time, the largest contract in the history of sports. He purposely got it to be $252 million because the previous high had been Kevin Garnett at a $126 million. A-Rod chose, instead of $250 million, he wanted $252 because he wanted exactly double of the biggest contract ever. $252 million when you subtract all the steroid fines and pressures and bonuses and when you a divorce in the middle of it. When you start doing the math on this, it costs $2.6 billion to buy 80% of the Mets. A-Rod does not have the money.
But he's got the looks. I mean,
but you want an owner with money. What do you want an owner with? Looks or money? Like, it, think about how amazing it is that J-Lo and A-Rod, think about the stratosphere these owners are playing in when J-Lo and A-Rod, the most successful among us in terms of making money in their fields, they need to bring in JP Morgan in order to have real money to buy just 80% of the Mets.
I'd rather have a guy that has the looks, therefore has the ability to bring in the kish. You know what I'm saying? How about that?
At Le Batard Show on Twitter, Guillermo also.
J-Lo concert before the games? I mean.
Put on the poll, Guillermo, please, at Le Batard Show.
Metropolitan.
Apropos of nothing over here, should Mike Gundy have been wearing a shirt that read Black Recruits Matter during his apology? At Le Batard Show.
Awkward transition. Time for some ads.
Jeter. I mean, ask Billy if he'd rather have, who he'd rather have, A-Rod and J-Lo or what he has now. I mean, Billy, it's an obvious answer, right? You'd rather have A-Rod and J-Lo?
I mean, I have Jordan and Jeter right now, and they're not really, I'm not winning that many games.
Might as well have A-Rod and J-Lo. I'm saying.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show, Win Stugatz podcast, comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7. To answer questions and offer solutions, whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Brian Windhorst is going to join us there in just a minute. We'll find out if we did indeed obtain the NBA playoff bubble report or was handed to us. Popped up in our files. Here's your SportsCenter update. Chargers coach Anthony Lynn says Colin Kaepernick was added to their list of players to work out in preparation for the upcoming season. The Pistons are finalizing a deal with Troy Weaver to make him the franchise's new general manager. Weaver has been the VP of basketball operations with the Thunder. And finally, a honey badger's skin is so thick that it can withstand machete blows, arrows, and spears? What, did you hear that? The honey badger's skin. So thick, Dan. I know you were distracted. It can withstand machete blows, arrows, and spears.
Honey badger don't care.
Wow. Want to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, feel healthier? Then take my advice and try Navage. I use it every day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com, that's N-A-V-A-G-E.com, or visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So you know that this guy does a very good job covering basketball for the network and has done so for a very long time. Brian Windhorst with us on ESPN Radio. I want to begin by telling you that you should check out the Hoop Collective podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcast. But, Brian, you're joining us now, and we had a roaring argument on Monday, I think, because ESPN was doing a bit of a victory lap on obtaining the health protocol handbook. And we were saying there wasn't any obtaining, that somebody did, you were league partners, and someone just put it on someone else's desk. So the first question to you is, did we indeed obtain the health protocol handbook, or was it just handed to us so that we could have a day of content?
I got an email to me. That's all I can vouch for. I don't know if it was sent via FedEx or however it was. It's also in PDF form, which is a little bit annoying. I'd rather have it.
Did you request it? Did you do anything to obtain it other than have an email address?
No, but I will say that I got it from an NBA team. I did not get it from our internal. I'm not saying our internal people didn't have it. I'm just saying I had to acquire it via an NBA team.
All right, but more importantly, you, Zach Lowe, and Woj were not scaling walls with masks on trying to get into the NBA offices.
See, this
offices,
is what
right?
happened, Windhorst, because we got into a conversation yesterday. They said that I like to make fun of the way people look, and all I just said is objectively, Brian Windhorst rappelling up a wall to obtain a handbook is funnier than Zach Lowe doing it.
I don't think I could rappel up a stump. I couldn't rappel anything. I'd be standing at the bottom asking for them to throw it down.
Just drop it.
Just throw that down here. What were some of the most interesting things that you saw in there, the things that you found funny, and why isn't this whole thing going to be a disaster?
You know, it's probably one of the most preposterous undertakings I've ever seen. I can't speak to what it like took to build the Panama Canal or, you know, to construct the sewer system of New York City. Like, I'm not talking about on that level, but the level of detail in this document, I'll bet it's probably one of the most complicated things the NBA has done in the 74-year history of the league, or 73 or whatever it is. The amount of doctors, lawyers, epidemiologists, television executives, union members, players, league executives, you could go on and on. Food service workers, hotel workers, Disney executives that had to be consulted to put this together. It is just incredibly complicated, and I have no idea whether it's going to work. There's so many things threatening it, including every single day when I see the coronavirus numbers coming out of Orange County, Florida, which is the most worrisome thing at all to me about this whole thing. There's six different phases listed in this thing, including sub-phases. There's phase 4A and phase 4B. And then when you get to Orlando, there's six different tiers, T-I-E-R-S, tiers of people who can move within and out of the building. My God, is it complicated. I really want to see basketball, but I really respect just what kind of work went into even putting this together.
Well, how alarmed are you by the numbers coming out of the Orlando airport? And I suspect these private jets will just land somewhere near Cinderella's castle. But how worried are you that 260 out of the...
We should clarify. Ron DeSantis misspoke. It wasn't that. That was actually the total number. It wasn't misinformation. The governor just misspoke. So it's not that the Orlando airport came out and clarified what
he
said.
Thank you. How bad are the numbers, though? Do we know what the clarification
was? It wasn't
was?
Nearly as bad. That was the total testing overall group. It made it seem like one testing phase to another, more than half of the people that got tested had it, and that's not the case.
Okay.
The issue is this, is that while there's going to be people who are going to be not leaving the campus at the Disney World, many people are going to be off the site living there, whether it's in hotels or in their homes, and coming in. And so if you've got incredibly raising rates of infection in the community and those people are coming in, it's going to increase the chances of the bubble being infected. It just is. I don't have to have, four doctorates in this to know that. That's common sense. The people that do have doctorates, I had a wonderful doctor from Princeton explain this to me, and she couldn't have put it better. It's possible to get everybody into the bubble virus-free, and they're going to start that process right now by testing everybody. But once you get into the bubble virus-free, living like a monk is what it's going to take to keep it virus-free. And that, to me, is going to be such a challenge to people, because it's not calling them debaucherous. It's just calling them human. You're asking them essentially not to be human to keep this alive. I hope that it works. I can see a framework at which it will work. But my gosh, is it's going to be hard.
Brian, if it doesn't happen, the main reason will be what?
The virus. I understand that there's real cultural things, real political things, and real economic things that are challenges to this. And I think all of them should be respected, and the league has to pay attention to all of them. What Kyrie Irving is bringing up is important and honorable, but we have to remember that the challenge to this, the reason all this is happening, is the virus. And it's almost become a little bit out of fashion right now to talk about the virus. I've never lost sight of it. It's why I've been skeptical that this could ever happen. I'm hopeful, but I recognize just the real challenge that this is really going to be.
What are the worst case scenarios for the league?
The worst case scenario for the league is that one of their star players gets sick. And because the star players are held up as the role models for even people within the league, that the players decide they don't want to play. Because this system is designed on something very... The reason that I was very pessimistic this would happen in April, the reason that it's happening is because the NBA accepted a basic premise. And that is that if a player gets sick, the league does not have to shut down. Unlike with Rudy Gobert, they are saying that if a player gets sick, that the league will go on. And they'll go on because of robust testing and other measures. But if you are playing... Let's say in the second round of the playoffs, you're playing for the Utah Jazz against the Los Angeles Lakers, and you find out that Anthony Davis has come down with the virus. And they can say, okay, we're going to the isolation measures. Anthony Davis has been put in protocol. He's going to get great treatment. He's going to get great, he's going to be isolated. You're not going to be near him. Am I, as a member of the Utah Jazz, showing up to play game the next game? That's the question. If the answer is no, then this is not going to work, because I do believe that players are going to test positive.
Brian, do you agree with me? If the rest of the Lakers do not want to play, they're concerned, they don't want to go to the bubble, do you agree with me that LeBron at this point would show up to that bubble by himself?
It's a funny question, Stu. I get it. But, you know, in consultation that I've had with players, which has been limited, I'm not talking to a lot of players right now, but agents who I am talking to a lot of, I think that most of the players want to play. I think that LeBron definitely is motivated to play, but I don't think it's a hard sell to most of his peers. I think most of his peers feel that way. Obviously, it is a funny consequence to think about that, but I would say, and I say this joking, but I'm almost being serious, they ought to put LeBron in a Pope-mobile. LeBron has got to be kept healthy for like 1,000 different reasons, just for the health of the whole league. If LeBron gets sick, it would be such a setback for everything. And I know that that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. There needs to be a separate 100-page protocol for LeBron and also some other guys like Giannis, but LeBron especially.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Should there be a special 100-page protocol for just LeBron? And also, should LeBron be traveling around the bubble in a Pope-mobile? At Levitard Show.
It's an amazing visual.
On Twitter. The whole thing is unbelievably ridiculous. It's not a joke. They're doing it at Disney World. It is staggering. It is breathtaking. We get to the important question, though, Windhorst. Bomani Jones and Mina Kimes were disgusted by 80% of our audience, which voted that it is okay to pee in the shower, 80% of the audience. Is it, Brian Windhorst, okay to pee in the shower? Yes or no?
I think you reach a certain age where you do not do that anymore. I'm not saying that you should, that you're going to be able to talk your 8-year-old into not doing it, but I think you reach a certain age where you say, let's not do this. I'm an adult. Let's use the facilities. I know that, now that I am a swimming pool owner, I feel a lot different about, using the pool as a bathroom as I did when I was 12. So I think you reach, there's a certain age where you should graduate from that practice.
Dan, you led the jury there, giving him the numbers. You got to just ask him the question without telling him what Bomani said, without giving him the numbers.
Okay, I blew it.
Fair point. What's the age, by the way, Brian?
I'll do better.
It's different for everybody, Stu. You're in the borderline.
Thank you.
Never.
Windhorst, we appreciate it. Here on the show, we have shower peers, pool peers, and a rogue jacuzzi peer as well.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Chargers coach Anthony Lynn says Colin Kaepernick was added to their list of players to work out in preparation for the upcoming season. The Pistons are finalizing a deal with Troy Weaver to make him the franchise's new general manager. Weaver has been the VP of basketball operations with the Thunder. And finally, Segway inventor Dean Kamen is preparing to mass produce human organs for patients who need transplants. Once the FDA approves lab-grown organs for medical use. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
You mentioned Fauci, or as I like to pronounce it, Fauci. Billy, I know that you had some thoughts on Fauci as we get closer and closer to it becoming real that sports is indeed going to go into the breach here and make decisions for money that risk human health. And did I hear you say, what's the end game, Fauci? Were you questioning Fauci, Billy?
I wouldn't say questioning. I'm just, you know, the guy seems all over the place and nowhere at the same time. I haven't seen him in months. He's been hiding out wherever he's been hiding out. We used to get a daily briefing from him. I haven't heard from him in forever. Last time I heard from him on sports, he wanted baseball to come back, and it would be fine if baseball comes back. But then baseball can come back, but it needs to be done by a certain time because then it gets dangerous, and then football needs to be in the bubbles. But the other doctors are saying it's not the bubbles. But, I mean, just what's the end game here, Fauci? Like, let's just get some, you know, some clarity on this. Come on the show.
Well, here is the interesting thing about what Billy's doing, because I've told you before that the pandemic – hadn't become real around here until Stugatz announced, I think a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, I don't care who the NBA champion is anymore.
Right.
Now, Stugatz
comes. It was that or Tom Hanks.
Stugatz comes in here today. How about this? This isn't going to surprise you guys at all. Stugatz spitting in no general direction, just every general direction. Hey, sports, how about we play or we don't?
Let's figure it out. I'm serious. I'm tired of sports right now, and I'm speaking to everyone. All four of the majors, soccer, golf, tennis, everyone. Figure it out, because every day it's something different. We have an NBA playoff, and then we have old coaches who are concerned about the rest of their lives and their career, and therefore there might not be an NBA playoff, and I'm fine with that. They should be concerned about their age, their careers, and their health. Major League Baseball. It's 60 games. It's 80 games. It's 100 games. It's prorated. It's not prorated. Rob Manfred has an ace in the hole. He doesn't have an ace in the hole. It's 100%, then it's not 100%. Tennis, one day we're playing, the next day we're not. One day Nadal says it's a good idea, the next day Nadal says it's a bad idea. Do me a favor, sports, all right? Sit down, sit with the doctors, sit with the scientists, sit with your players, figure it out from all angles, and then get back to me. Stop teasing me that you're going to come back, and then there's some other issue that might prevent you from coming back. I don't care anymore. I care about when you're going to come back, and if you come back, that you're going to be healthy, and it's going to be the same product that I have seen my entire life. I am tired of sports. All you sit down, figure it out, and figure out the right time to come back. So because good. I'm telling you, I am not certain. We should be playing any sports for at least
there
a year.
There it is.
But I want it.
There it is.
I want it worse than anything.
Figure it out. This thing that can't be figured out, figure it out, sports.
Well, Dan, sit down and figure it out. I mean, basketball didn't think that through. That there are some old coaches.
Stugatz, trust me that they have more invested in this than you do.
Well,
and they care about it more than you do. And they have thought.
It's debatable.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm with Stugatz. Yeah. This is the classic. Oh, I'm working so hard. We're doing so many things. Oh, I'm so tired from all the behind the scenes. How about do it in front of the scenes? Okay. Stop telling me everything you're doing behind the scenes that no one can see or verify, and either do things in front of the scenes or shut up until you have it figured out behind the scenes. And come back once you've got it figured out. But don't give me updates every day. We're trying so hard. We're working so hard. Behind this. Oh, conversation behind the. Do it in front of the scenes, all right? Or don't talk to me until it's figured out. But figure it out already because you've had more than enough time.
Thank you.
It's like a baby.
That's all we have is time.
It's like a baby Stugatz. You sound, if Stugatz were an 8-year-old character that were depicted by an animation or a cartoon, you just did Stugatz. You just did the whole Stugatz routine of, hey, this league that's got hundreds of millions of dollars invested in this, just figure it out. Okay, good. I'm going to go sit on the toilet now and read Twitter. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's the most productive thing I'm going to do today.
No, baseball, like that's the perfect example. Rob Manfred, Tony Clark, sit down in a room in a Zoom room and figure it out.
All right,
okay. Good. And get back to us. Right. Once you've figured out all angles of how many games, prorated, not prorated, players, Trout, shut up, and just figure it out.
Listen, to Stugatz's point, and I may be wrong, it sounds like yesterday the two of them did finally talk, and then we got some positive news. But before that, it was whisper over here, news over here, leak over here, this over there. Just the two of you get in a room together, call each other up, you got nothing else going on, and figure out a plan.
That's it.
Do you guys not realize who you work for? Like, them answering questions. We just did a 2-hour special on Return of Sports. Like, we are part of the problem. The reason that we get all these updates is because we won't stop asking. We just had Windhorse on. Why do you think we had Windhorse on? To talk about the fact that there might be games or there might not be games. Like, we are part of this problem.
You know what's better than all that speculation in the 2-hour specials? Sports. How about just figure out sports and come back with sports, and then we'll get 6 hours of sports every day instead of 2-hour specials.
And I think Greeny's the guy that Greeny needs to be the guy that figures it out. I want Greeny to be the commissioner of figuring out sports because seriously, yes. We're spending way too much time talking about whether sports can come back, and we're not watching sports. We're not consuming sports. We're just talking about whether they'll come back or not.
What?
If you don't come back, I'm good with it for a while. If you do come back, let's go already.
Guys, sports are back. They're back in other places.
Whoa.
It's not the sports that need to figure things out. It's the country.
Whoa. Well, this is the part about figuring it out that makes me want to just continue.
Saw plenty of sports yesterday. Look,
listen to me. I want to punch Stugatz in the face until the end of the pandemic because he's going up to Fauci, a renowned scientist, and being like, hey, figure it out, Fauci. All right? Let's wrap this up, okay? Because I need my betting. I need my gambling. Hey, everybody, all you guys, all you experts who don't know any more than I do because I'm King Gasbag, you guys figure it out.
I mean, I wouldn't mind if Fauci was involved in these discussions, but like the NBA, you feel like you're at the 5-yard line and then all of a sudden, you know, you got Greg Popovich not wanting to go to the bubble. That should have been thought of before we got to the 5.
All right, there he is.
I figured that out at the 50.
Ladies and gentlemen, Stugatz, the second guest critic here at the end of a pandemic that none of us can figure out, saying, hey, you guys, figure it out.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Also, just for a moment, let's pump the brakes on renown for Fauci. No one knew who this guy was 3 months ago, okay?
It's not true. He's held his job for, like, several administrations.
Yeah, but you didn't know who he was.
I mean, he was pretty front and center during the AIDS crisis.
Come on, you heard Fauci's name for the first time, like, during this pandemic.
No,
100%. 100%.
You
weren't talking about this guy last November or anything. You've never heard of this
guy last November, but I remember him from the AIDS crisis. Maybe this is an age thing.
Really? That's where we've gotten in the content distribution system? No, where we're going to do, what are your Fauci bona fides? Did you know him in November or did you know him in January? Show me your Fauci resume.
He was like a pretty divisive figure. That was
I
hated.
Knew who Fauci was before you did.
It's not the first time a group of people have hated Anthony Fauci.
I mean, Mike, you were like 6 when the AIDS crisis happened. You were paying attention to the doctors at the time. I really doubt that.
I don't know how to win this argument.
Again,
with
we're doing like, Fauci bona fide. Fauci, I pronounced when it, I called him Fauci when this thing started.
The AIDS crisis was a pretty big deal. I'm sorry you missed it.
Yeah, but you were 6.
I mean, it was a national. Okay, I'm not doing this with you guys anymore.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. The Georgia Redcoat Band will no longer perform Tara's theme from the 1939 film Gone with the Wind after Bulldog football games. Instead, the band will perform Georgia on My Mind. Shaquille O'Neal and Rob Gronkowski will throw a 3-hour virtual fundraiser called Shaq's Funhouse versus Gronk's Beach Virtual Party June 27th, with all the proceeds going to NAACP empowerment programs and the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. And finally, sorry about that. The characters on children's cereal boxes are often designed to look down, allowing them to make eye contact with kids in the grocery store aisle.
Huh? Guillermo, put it on the poll. Are you creeped out that cereal box designers have their characters look down so they could stare down at your kids and manipulate them?
The 48th anniversary of the passing of Title IX is June 23rd, and ESPN is celebrating with the launching of ESPNW Presents When We Play. 3 days starting June 21st, dedicated to women's sports across the ESPN family of networks. And tune into That's What She Said podcast on June 23rd as Sarah Spain leads a roundtable discussion on women in leadership roles. Very cool. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right. I know that we are in troubling times. I know that we have been doing a lot of serious radio. But Roy just sent me spiraling down a wonderful and awful rabbit hole. Roy has a gift. I don't know if a lot of people know this. It is a secret gift. It is a useless gift. There is no person on this show who has more data about things that don't matter than Roy. So I totally believe when I'm asking Roy a question that he has sort of a Rain Man ability to come up with the Rutger Hauer IMDb without looking it up. And so Roy just informed me of a movie title that I was not familiar with. Roy just informed me that in 2011, Rutger Hauer made a movie titled Hobo with a Shotgun. Now, I'm going to tell you, if ever there was a movie with Stugatz's name written all over it, Hobo with a Shotgun is the movie. But I have just texted both Mike Ryan and Stugatz a photograph of Rutger Hauer in this movie that I want you guys to look up, because you guys will notice that Rutger Hauer has a rifle or a shotgun in one hand, and what he has wrapped around his neck in ways that are difficult to explain is a manhole cover. And he is a hobo with a shotgun. It says so right here on the movie trailer. Rutger Hauer is a hobo with a shotgun delivering justice one shell at a time. And there are a whole bunch of people screaming and there are things on fire. And he seems to have a missile launcher of some sort. It doesn't look like a shotgun to me. Maybe, yeah, I guess it is a shotgun. I just called it a rifle. I don't know my gun.
I mean, they would have to change the title of the movie, right?
Right. It wouldn't be Hobo with a Rifle. Right. It's a hobo with a shotgun. So I have asked the crew to look up the best reviews that are to be found around this movie. That I, Mike, have you seen this movie? Are you familiar with this
movie? I'm very familiar with the movie. I haven't seen it, but I know that this was a Rutger Hauer vehicle.
Okay, very good. You seem to know everything these days, including as a six-year-old when Fauci was involved in the AIDS crisis.
Even with that around his neck, he's still making the same face he always makes.
Yes. No, but Mike, look at that photo on your phone and tell you he's got a manhole cover on his neck. So he's just a move. He's just
are we certain it's a manhole cover?
I think so. It's like a sewer grate. It's something. He's just come up from, he's a hobo with
a
shotgun.
Disc of some sort.
I'm pretty sure it's a manhole cover. What do you think
it's
it
either
is?
Either that or a vet doesn't want him to scratch his ears.
You think it's a dog cone? All right. I think it's a manhole cover. Roy, what is the first review that you have found for Hobo with a Shotgun that you believe is worth reading?
This one came from Will Leach of Deadspin. This is the type of movie you want to punch in the face.
All right. Very good. Billy, what have you found in the reviews for Hobo with a Shotgun, 2011 Rutger Hauer classic?
This, Dan, is from Philip French of The Observer in the UK. Hobo with a Shotgun belongs at the bottom of a disused coal mine in one of those desperately impoverished West Virginia townships that advertise for people to send them their nuclear waste.
So far, nothing has dissuaded me from wanting to see this.
Hobo with a Shotgun, 2011. What have you found there, Tony? I think Billy just took the one that Christopher liked, so you can filibuster for a second, and Christopher will have to find another one. What do you like here, Tony?
Jason Eisner's Hobo with a Shotgun is trash with difference. It's designer trash.
Oh, all right. Trash with nice. A difference.
Again, I want to see it more.
And Chris Cody, what do you have? You know what? I might want to make another round with you guys. I think I want to read some more of these if you guys can find some more of them. Again, Hobo with a Shotgun, 2011 Rutger Hauer vehicle. Chris, what is a review that you have found there?
This comes from Graham Young in the Birmingham Post. When this amount of ham arrives coated in so much ketchup, there's not much room left to find any pleasure at all.
How about you, Billy? What else have you found in your search here through Hobo with a Shotgun reviews?
I'm happy to see Hauer is still blowing folks away, but I really do hope that the rest of the actors in this film never, ever work in front of the camera again.
It did 834,000 in the United States.
Really? All right, a good run it had. Now, you guys are going with professional reviewers. Sometimes I think the comments are even better when you just go to random fan who wants to be mean on the internet about the movies, because I feel like we could do the rest of the show from this space, just in the comment section of A Hobo with a Shotgun.
Apologies, that was worldwide.
Oh, was it worldwide? It did. So it was a big international success. How did it do in the States?
More of an art house.
No. It was a big hit in the States. 703, 372 in the States, 131,000 everywhere else. I
mean. Okay. All right. So he didn't have any broad appeal in his homeland. Old Rutger Hauer. He just did well in the United States, but there wasn't a real Dutch swelling for his film. Again, Hobo with a Shotgun, 2000. Does anyone else have any other reviews that they would like to read? Roy, what else do you have there?
Corey Hall at the Metro Times in Detroit said, limbs are severed, heads roll, a school bus is incinerated, and a dude gets burnt by sticking his hockey skate into a plugged-in toaster. Some is clever, but much of it, it's wearying and a bit lame.
Wearying and a bit lame. How dare you? Tony, what else do you have?
I've got one here from a very upset Rotten Tomatoes user. I've got to admit, there's flashes of demented brilliance in this hardcore crassploitation splatter pick.
All right, so that's a good review. Wait a minute, a good one. We found a positive review for the 2011 classic Hobo with a Shotgun. Yes, Billy.
Ooh, Dan, this is from Kurt Loder. Once you've taken in the title, you've pretty much gotten the joke.
Yeah, see, he's always there for us, Loder. That's exactly the review I would expect from him.
What if I told you that in the summer,
of 2020, there was a race to talk race. That America's biggest radio show tried to have its voice heard during the conversation of our times, but somehow, in the age of technology, couldn't get the microphones to work right for three straight months. That the conversation about police brutality and race relations the last couple of weeks somehow wasn't the heaviest thing in Dan's kitchen. That after nearly two decades of avoiding race conversations, the times were changing so much that Stu Gatz joined the clamoring for equality by extending his laziness to the cause and having Roy do his job for him on stupidity. That the show's lone black producer was heard from less on the show during the pandemic than Stu Gatz's dog, Finney. That when Roy finally did speak up, Dan decided that would be a good time to start suddenly and awkwardly sobbing about his mother. That Billy, who was afraid of everything, suddenly decided that risk was underrated, but he was talking about the board game. That it wasn't that long ago that a doctor came on to teach us how to wash our hands. That after giving time to reflect on his past, Lance Armstrong is still a bleephole. That Tom Brady's first interview after Howard Stern somehow involved Chris Cody. That even Tim Kurkjian must hate baseball right now. That Dan owes us 13 pizza lunches. That one South Korean team solution to filling empty stands was sex dolls. That Greg Cody writes a column saying sports shouldn't start because of the pandemic hours before meeting friends out for dinner. That I haven't seen or heard from Fauci in months and I'm starting to get worried. That in these troubled times, we desperately look for healing on race relations from that bastion of diverse soothing known as NASCAR. That a 50-year-old truck racer from NASCAR who had never won a race threatened to quit because they took away his Confederate flag. And that if you say his name fast, Ray Cicerelli, it sounds like racist Cicerelli. That the NFL could have probably avoided having to give $250 million to social causes over the next 10 years if the Ravens had just signed Kaepernick as a backup. But that the Ravens owner instead asked us to pray for him. ESPN Films presents A Race to Talk Race, how a slightly overweight middle-aged sports radio host won the race of his lifetime by simply waiting for the rest of the world to catch up. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and our Best of Podcast on demand in the ESPN app, and subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast.
I can't believe I missed this when we were talking about it, but some tweeters have sent it in. We were talking about this race to remove some symbols that we're just now sort of realizing are questionable. Aunt Jemima is gone. Land O'Lakes has taken the Native American off of its product. And I can't believe I didn't notice this as we were talking about it. Uncle Ben is next. How American is it of Land O'Lakes to remove the Native American but keep the land? How did I miss that? Like, how, when we were talking about that, is it possible that I missed? Like, is anyone at that company right now saying, hey, we hope people don't notice too much that we're doing this hugely American thing of removing the Native American but keeping the land on our butter? It's fairly amazing, is it not? Like, you can't write, just like you can't write fiction, like a NASCAR race driver who doesn't have a car, he's right. got a truck, mm-hmm. who has never won a race, threatens to leave the sport at 50 because he can't keep his Confederate flag, and the guy's name sounds like racist Sorelli. Which one of these two stories is most absurd? Which is the more absurd story if I tell you the idea of Land O'Lakes has arrived in a position where they're removing the Native American but keeping the land in only the most quintessentially American thing possible? Or racist Sorelli exists driving a truck probably with testicles on the back, brass testicles near the license plate in a truck that never wins a race.
I mean, I would say, and it's tough to beat Land O'Lakes, but I would say racist Sorelli. I mean,
especially when you add in the fact that after all that change and racist Sorelli doing his thing and the Confederate flag coming down, that we still race the Dixie Vodka 400.
And that he didn't quit at all. That all he did was exist long enough to get bullied by even LeBron. I felt bad for racist Sorelli once LeBron ganged up on him. I'm like, come on, LeBron. This is too easy a fight for you. Like, come on. You're going after the truck driver who's 50? Like, you're being a bully here. This is not, you don't need to put a clown nose on him. It's too easy a target for you. Go after someone your own size.
You felt bad for
racist. I felt bad for racist Sorelli. I'm like, look, this dope never wins a race. He's on the wrong side of history. He drives a truck amid cars, and he's threatening to quit in a way that allows us to say again and again that his name sounds like racist Sorelli.
And now LeBron.
And now LeBron jumps in because it's too easy. Come on, LeBron. Pick bigger fights than that one.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your Sports Center update. The Georgia Redco Band will no longer perform Tara's theme from the 1939 film Gone with the Wind after Bulldog football games. Instead, the band will perform Georgia on My Mind. Shaquille O'Neal and Rob Gronkowski will throw a 3-hour virtual fundraiser called Shaq's Funhouse versus Gronk's Beach Virtual Party on June 27th, with all the proceeds going to NAACP Empowerment Programs and the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. And finally, if each vampire ate just one meal a day, starting with just one vampire, and each victim then turning into a vampire, it would take about a month for the entire human population to become vampires. What's Patino waiting for? These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Seems like 100 years ago, but it was only at the start of this pandemic that we talked to our next guest. She's an infectious diseases specialist, clinical assistant professor of medicine and infectious diseases at New York University. And when this news first broke, she was on with us and she broke down crying in the middle of what it is that we were talking about, out of fear of being overwhelmed by pandemic. So she is rejoining us now today as people behave a little more like this is gone when it's not gone exactly. And the numbers are now rising all over the country.
It seems like it's gone from the Northeast. And sometimes people in the Northeast, I'm from there, think if it's gone from there, it's gone everywhere. It is spiking in the South. It's spiking everywhere else.
Thank you, doctor, for being on with us again. First of all, what do you make of what it is that's happening in America right now, where in too many places we're behaving like this is gone?
Well, I think it is. The situation is dramatically improved in New York City on multiple fronts. When I last spoke to you guys, we were very much dealing with shortages of personal protective equipment, whether that was the N95 respirator masks or gowns or gloves and so on. And so that was a very scary, dangerous situation for our healthcare workers, especially given the numbers of patients that we were seeing. Back in March and April, even in May, the vast majority of our patients in the hospital were COVID patients, and that has dramatically changed. So I was last on service in the hospital in early May. I'm back now on service, and back then I might have had 20 patients of my own, one of whom would not have had COVID. The other 19 all had COVID. Today I have a couple patients who have had it but are recovered, and nobody is actively sick with it. So that's a huge change. Now, that said, I am wearing a mask even right now as I'm talking to you. I have my N95 mask on because I am sitting here in the hospital. So, I think there's some things that have gotten better. The lockdowns in New York worked. And if you count 3 weeks from the time of the lockdown, it's basically when you start to see cases peak and then fall. And so the math is pretty straightforward. In other parts of the country, unfortunately, they did not implement the lockdown early. They lifted those measures too quickly, and they didn't really implement them rigorously. And so they didn't suppress the virus when they put those measures in place, if they did. And we are seeing dramatic increases in cases in places like Arizona, Texas, Florida, which are very concerning.
Left up to you, doctor, and you alone, would we still be locked down across the country, even knowing it's gotten better in the Northeast?
Well, I think there's this sort of false dichotomy between lockdown and not lockdown. And what we really should have done during that lockdown period is build the capacity to reopen safely. So testing is definitely part of it. But a huge part that, with the exception of maybe New York and California, really has not been adequately focused on is the contact tracing piece. And the testing by itself isn't really useful. It's what do you do with that test? What you want to do is figure out, okay, this person tested positive. Who have they exposed? What do we do with those people? And without a plan in place, and really you need to hire legions of healthcare workers to do that kind of contact tracing. And that simply has not happened. That's what should have happened during the lockdown period, and that's what then allows you to reopen the economy safely. And there was just this, and I think it's ongoing, this does not compute about that is what needs to be done to reopen.
Given the last time that you were on with us, your level of fear, did the damage done meet your expectations? Were you more worried that it would be even worse?
Well, we certainly saw healthcare workers get infected. That was definitely part of what we experienced. Some of them ended up in ICUs on ventilators. Some of them died. And unfortunately, that is precisely what I feared would happen and did happen. Healthcare workers do remain one of the highest risk groups for this. Not all of us are healthy. Some of us are older. Some of us have our own medical conditions, and we are more exposed than the average person. So you know, that remains a concern. And I am concerned about how this will play out, not just this summer. You know, right now we're still in the first wave, but when we have a second wave in the fall, I think it's going to be even worse than what we've seen so far. And will we be prepared? I'm not sure.
It doesn't sound like you're confident either, because if we're not doing the very basic things that have worked elsewhere, then what would be the reason for hope?
I mean, I think the reason for hope is to keep saying this is what we need to do and hope that folks finally tune in and listen. You know, if you write to your local or call your local congressperson, your senator, your other elected officials and say, look, please start to invest in contact tracing. Please hire these people. And hey, you know, in a situation where a lot of people lost their jobs, it's a great way of getting people jobs too, but it's a necessary service. And unfortunately, over the last really couple decades, but especially since the 2008 recession, we've lost a huge number of our public health workers, some 50,000 since 2008. And those are precisely the people we need right now to be doing the contact tracing. So that's something that has to be rebuilt ASAP. We need to think about that as our military against the coronavirus. And, you know, if this were a foreign militaristic threat, we would be drafting people or, you know, at the very least, really trying to encourage people to enlist. And we're not doing that in the case of the contact tracers.
Dr. Celine Gounder with us here on ESPN Radio. What are your feelings here in terms of sports and them perhaps starting back up? How do you feel about that?
Well, it really depends on the sport. Is it a contact sport? Is it a sport that's played indoors or outdoors? Are you going to have fans? To what degree can you isolate sort of subsets of people? So, for example, NASCAR is a very different scenario because they can sort of isolate their pit crew from others, and they can function essentially as autonomous units, which is very different from, say, an NBA team where you're having more close contact, you know, person-to-person contact, and you have different teams having contact with one another. So they're highly different situations. You know, one sport that has sort of a built-in advantage, well, actually a couple, are sports in which they wear helmets. I mean, one thing I would be doing if I were with the NFL is how can you build face shields into the helmets so that they have some protection built in that way. You know, I think one really interesting natural experiment that's just unfolded over the last couple of weeks are the protests, which were outdoors and where people were by and large wearing masks. And so if we do not see a big spike, basically 3 weeks or so after the protests, that would indicate that even though you had crowds of people, if they were outside and wearing masks, that actually affords a huge amount of protection. And that would be actually very good news for sports that sort of fit that description.
As we let you go here, your advice to people right now is put on your damn masks.
Yeah. You know, I think there's sort of a conflation of, yeah, that is a sign of strength. You're protecting your neighbor, your family, and it's worth the hassle. It's the most protective, easy thing we can do right now.
Doctor, thank you for being on with us. Appreciate the time again.
My pleasure. You guys stay safe. Be well.
You too. Thank you.
Time to justify our unreasonable salaries.
Look at Chris Cody. Chris Cody feels better. Feels slightly less scared. What are you feeling right now? I see radiance coming off of you.
The last time we had her on, it was one of the scariest moments of my life. So I'm feeling just more encouraged than the last time we had her on.
She seems a lot happier. I mean, she does. Yeah.
She was really scared.
She laughed.
Yes,
she laughed.
I was laughing.
Last time she cried.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So reopen everything and let's all run out there without masks
and then we
run back inside in a couple
Start
months.
Start crying again.
Yes. You guys ready for a rerun on this? You guys ready to run it back? Because we didn't do it right this time.
I'm sneaking in a haircut today.
Are you?
Are you really?
I got to prepare for the next few
months.
Whoa. Are you kidding me?
You rebel.
I mean, I got one, and that will be the last one I get for at least a year.
Nah, man. This fade doesn't clean itself.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, my feelings exactly.